the spiritual, the paranormal, angels,
demons,
off-worlders,
UFOs,
conspiracies,
weird weather, seen and the unseen. It's Sight Unseen with your host, psychic and medium, Danielle Agnew.
Hey everybody, welcome to Sight Unseen. Wonderful to have you in this fantastic Wednesday. We are midweek, we are halfway through the week, we are almost through March. Good Lord. Would somebody please find my March, because I looked under my couch cushions and it's not there. I have no idea where my March went. So if you could, please help me find March. I do believe it was caught up in the tide of 2015. Good heavens, the velocity of this year, you guys. How about that? Don't even talk to me about January and February, because those were a complete and total wash. However, I got a lot done, and I'm sure all of you did as well. Yet what I'm finding is that I am finally picking up the velocity underneath my little Flintstone feet that are moving so quickly on the ground with the velocity of this year. And all of this is coming into commensurate action, and I'm so excited because it's actually going to be a fantastic year. A lot of change coming in. And for me, one of the big resounding bells of change has been getting called back into a non-traditional form of my spiritual work. And obviously, guys, you know, I'm a psychic, I'm a medium, I'm a channel, all that fun stuff. And part of that work comes out in pastoral work. And I'm even hesitant to say the word pastor because people cringe. They're like, oh my God, she's some crazy Christian. Look out. Actually, no, that's not true. I'm very trans-denominational. All roads to God are good. There is no one version of God that's better than another version of God. That's been my experience. Even though I started studying from a Christian pastoral perspective, I was never really an inside the box person who talked about God. I do think it's a horrible crime that there was this killer activist and super psychic named Jesus that a bunch of wackos got a hold of and made a bunch of creepy franchises out of. That makes me upset. However, I think that for people who just do choose to follow spiritual teachings of any kind, whether you're following the Hebrew Torah or the Muslim Quran, or you're following the Christian Bible, or you're following your gut, baby, always follow your gut, because that is really the intrinsic piece of universe that has been given to all of us is our gut. Whatever you're following, I tend to gravitate back towards some really jacked up interpretations of what we call our Judeo-Christian Bible. Because people have turned these words into weapons, and it kind of freaks me out from a spiritual perspective, because when you're dealing with angels as much as I do in my spiritual work and my psychic work, these entities are not at all what we have framed up to be the judgy, weird, harbingers of doom. I mean, they're pretty intense. I wouldn't want to make them mad. They're not quite the touched by an angel Roma Downey version that we've made them into down here. However, one of the things that I find so fascinating is how divorced from our spiritual gifts that we have become, or how categorized we have become with our spiritual gifts, to the point where, as a person who I believe in Christ, I also believe in the teachings of Buddha, I also believe that Allah had some really great points in the Quran, there are a lot of great spiritual teachers who had a lot of really cool stuff going on. And, you know, I don't necessarily believe that God and God, creation's infinite wisdom, decided that there was one way to do all this. And what kills me is the weight of words, when people are getting into all of this, and the weight of labels. I mean, never mind that we've had enough labels of, well, here's the crazy Muslims that are killing everybody, which, by the way, do not get me started on who actually is behind those black masks over there in ISIS. There's a reason those people keep wearing masks all the time, okay? It is not within that sect of Islamic culture for the men to have to cover their faces all the time. There's a reason they're covering up their white faces, but we will talk about that on another show. So anyway, never get the psychic mad about world events, because that gets dicey looking into who's doing what. I'm off topic. The point is that when we're dealing with anything that is spiritual, okay, whether it's the Bible or any message at all, you got to put your head on, you guys. And I have gotten some flack from people in my metaphysical community because I actually do spiritual work in what would be considered a, quote, Christian church, end quote. And I gotta be honest, I'm really weird about even using the word Christian because a bunch of very crazy people have taken off with that label and done some wacko political stuff under it, and it just makes me weird. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, because I'm sure that's what Jesus was teaching, was segregation and hate. Way to go! Way to be a follower. All right. So, as you can see, labels and words can get very misconstrued by actions. And one of the things I think is kind of a hoot is if you are somebody who has any sort of background at all in any sort of religious environment, and this certainly is not to hack on any religion tonight. That's not my job. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to point out that when we get addicted to words and interpretations, we start to kind of go down a weirdo road that could be very much part of somebody else's agenda and may not even be part of your own spiritual barometer or compass at all. Because by the time we're going down that road, then all of a sudden we're kind of falling in the party line and we're all walking and talking in the same step. And I really don't believe that's how creation is designed. If you follow creation at all, or even if you don't, you ever watch a snowstorm? You ever see how those snowflakes come down? There's no uniformity to that. That is pure flipping chaos. And it's supposed to be chaos, you guys. We're not supposed to sit here and have our entire existence written out into a game plan and a book and all these things. That's just not being present in life. And that causes people a lot of problems. So what I'm talking about tonight is the weight of words. And one of my favorite misinterpretations, and I'm going to pick on the Christian Bible because that was my background of study, is in its discussion of people with spiritual gifts. I mean, on one hand, you have the Bible talking about spiritual gifts come from God and they're fabulous. And Paul just lists off a whole bunch of them. Did you know administration is a spiritual gift? It's not one of mine, but apparently it's a spiritual gift. So, okay, rock on. However, there's this whole list of spiritual gifts, which is really cool. But then if you're reading back in the Old Testament, old Deuteronomy loves to kick around, which is originally the Torah, people. Remember, the Christian faith is a radical offshoot of Judaism. I hate to break it to you. And Jesus wasn't white. I know, right? Who knew? Anyway, Jesus was a Jew, a very dark-skinned Jewish person, a Middle Eastern guy who would probably get profiled by today's NSA and pulled over because he didn't bathe and he wandered around in a big dirty toga. So, you know, really, come on, people. Let's put these things in perspective here. So what I'm telling you here is that if you look into the Bible and you look into spiritual gifts, we should be celebrating our internal barometer. We should be celebrating each one of us has a soul, and each one of these souls is able to find vibration and lock on to like issues and items and people. And we have an intuition that's amazing. Yeah, you go back to old Deuteronomy, which sounds like I'm quoting a line from Cats for those musical theater buffs out there. And you start looking at what Deuteronomy was talking about, and it starts going off about, you know, don't listen to the occultists and the witches and the priests and da 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 da. Well, if you really look down to the word listen and you break it down to the Hebrew word, what they're talking about there is don't deify these people. And you shouldn't. Nobody who does my job deserves to be deified, you guys. That is just unbelievably crazy. We are just people, okay, doing a job, whatever. However, that one singular passage and a few others throughout the Bible that talk about don't go to the oracle and don't do this and don't do that, I have always found that incredibly hypocritical, biblically speaking, because, excuse me, but was John the Baptist not telling the future about the coming of Christ and about all these kings falling and rising? Where the heck was that? Wasn't John the Baptist a clairvoyant? And isn't he telling the future? And aren't we supposed to consider him a divinator and a medium? Or how about Elijah, the guy who walked up on the old mountainside there and talked to all the dead relatives about what the heck to do with his life and his tribe? That make Elijah a medium, which according to Deuteronomy is a no-no. So as you can see, you guys, if we lock ourselves into any spiritual modality, I don't care what denomination and I don't care what religion, if we lock ourselves into words of any spiritual modality, we are going to be way off the subject from what we actually can do with our gifts and talents as spiritual beings. And it's really funny because you would think that the metaphysical community is, oh, so open-minded, and we're just going to sit around and namaste each other into a very bean or legume-friendly bagel. Actually, what's interesting about that is I have actually caught more backdraft in the metaphysical community about the fact that I will actually speak in a building that titles itself as a, quote, Christian church, end quote. I've gotten more backdraft from my own metaphysical peeps than I have even from the super duper hardcore Christian peeps who look at me and they probably think I'm going to hell in a handbasket anyway. You're a psychic, you're a medium, you're gay. Oh my God, you are just fuel for the devil. So they probably gave up. However, the most unbelievable thing to me is when people in the metaphysical community come forward and judge anybody else's walk. And look, I understand that a lot of people, myself included, have gone into metaphysical pursuits and looked into these modalities because as we do that, then we explore creation and creator and universe in a much more thorough way than just dead stories in a book. And that's not to insult anyone's religion. I'm simply saying anytime we read a book, especially the Bible or the Quran or any of these religious books, these are tribal histories of people that once existed. So they are tribal histories, they are allegories, they are analogies, they are mythologies, yet they are past. And what I find so fascinating about that is if you claim to be a spiritual person, how can you demand that spirituality remain in a book? How can, then God becomes a character in a book, you know, and it's not even about God. You don't even have to call it God. Universal potential, universal thought becomes sealed in a book. And the words then become so intense that people fight over them and they kill each other over them. And a lot of times the interpretations of this book don't even go back to the original meanings. And do not get me started about the difference between High Greek that the New Testament was written in and the conversational Greek that a lot of our modern Bibles are translated into. Don't get me started on that because I won't go there. We do not have enough time for that. We got some action in the chat room on this, you guys. Sue says, 2015 feels like it's had a six-pack of Red Bull and we're holding the leash. Amen, Sue. Amen. I feel that way too, sister. Woo! Got my hair blowing back, and that takes a lot considering how much product I have in it. Bob is in the house. And yes, 2015 is going by very, very fast. Bob, in the chat room, ISIS equals CIA. Thank you, Bob. Okay, doesn't take a psychic to know that one, does it? Rock on, Bob. Love you. You know, it's Sue is saying there are psychics who will recite a prayer and cross themselves as part of channeling spirit. That's absolutely right, Sue. And I refer when I am channeling spirit or I am channeling this angelic life, there's a little ritual I go through at my house in the morning where I say a prayer to creation and say, man, no matter what mood I'm in, no matter what space I'm in, will you please give me the ability to just channel and translate for people what they need to hear today, because not this job is not about me and it's not about me at all. So amen, Sue. I hear that. If you guys have had experiences that are spiritual that have defied a religious experience, or perhaps you've had a religious experience which has completely opened you up to spirituality in a way that you didn't think was possible because of perhaps the dogma of the religion, give me a call here in the studio, 406-545-4496, option one. I'd love to hear from you. That's 406-545-4496, option one. Or you can join us live in the chat room at mtradio.net/chat. I love all the ways we can actually have conversations. This is most fantastic. You know, you guys, if you are someone who's listening and you feel like you have a spiritual gift and talent that we will call part of the sixth sense spread, all right? Say you're clairvoyant, which is seeing the future, or clairsentient, which is just understanding everything for no reason and you don't know why, or the gift of empathy, being able to feel people and events around you. These are not strokes from the devil, you guys. These are part of being a spiritual creature in a physical body. And regardless of what denomination, Christian or religion or anything that you come from, all of these spiritual books talk about being a spiritual creature. And I think that's so fascinating. I mean, if you think about truths energetically here, You've got the Hindu religion, which is actually the oldest documented religion on Earth. And people oftentimes think Hinduism is broken into a billion different deities and is polytheistic. Actually, ladies and gentlemen, that is not true. Hinduism believes there is one creation, and it is so complicated that they divide it into 1,000 different aspects or personalities of that deity. And, Shiva, the god of war, and all these other things. Ganesh, the god of creativity. It's all God. In order for them to solicit a portion of God that they need, they give it a name and a face, yet it is considered one being. Now, that's very hard for we Western Christian folk to get our brains around, but indeed, that is the truth. And when we stop thinking in such polar terms, when we're dealing with creation and create everything about universe and physics, then we can actually get to the point where we stop needing to bludgeon each other with these titles and with these words. And quite honestly, one of the reasons that I am driven to go speak in some of these environments that I do is not because I have all the answers, because for God's sakes, I do not, people. I do not have all the answers. I have my perspective, and that's what I have. And I am happy to share that with people, having done this job a very long time. Yet what I find is that we are so consumed with claiming the differences in our spirit from one another. And this goes for my metaphysical peeps too. And I am one of the metaphysical peeps, okay? We're so consumed with the energies of division that if we took the time to actually focus on one another and the likeness that we have, and not needing to own God because that means we have power. This is not the 1100s, you guys. I hate to break it to everybody, but I don't think anybody really believes that one group of people speak for God anymore. And God bless the folks who do. That's their own path and their own journey. Yet if we are able to take these words that we have made into weapons across many different religions, I'm just picking on the Christian one because that's my background. I've seen them in many different religions turn these words into weapons. Does that not defy the chaos of creation? Does that not defy universal connectivity? And is that not what metaphysics are all about, is universal connectivity? And I'll pick on Jesus. Is that not what Jesus was talking about with universal connectivity? And this isn't meant to be a sermon by any stretch of the imagination, you guys. You know, Buddha, and there have been many Buddhas. There wasn't just a Buddha. There were several Buddhas that came after the Buddha. And every time the Buddha came, the Buddha would talk about oneness and how the self doesn't even exist. Yeah. Wrap your first world brain around that one. How the self doesn't even exist. There is no self. We are a reflection of an experience universally that the universal consciousness is having. Can you think about yourself like a reflection? Can you think about your daily problems as they're not really mine? This is just the universal consciousness working something out in its id or its ego, and it's reflecting in my experience of life. That's a mind bender. That is a mind bender. Wow. So I believe that as we are focusing on these words that we turn into weapons, what about turning the weight of words into healing capacities? What about turning them into bridges? You know, what about having the courage when somebody is being dogmatic about anything? And quite frankly, some of the most religiously zealous people I have ever met are hardcore atheists. I crack up because they are absolutely dedicated in this zealousness that there's no such thing as anything. Well, what's the difference between being that person and the person who's absolutely positive that if you don't love Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you're going to go straight to hell? The zealousness, the energy of the zealousness is exactly the same. It's exactly the freaking same. And who cares if somebody doesn't believe in anything? And who cares if somebody believes in Allah or Jesus or Buddha? When we come out of needing to give labels to the spiritual universe in which we live, then we can kind of get with the program and get with the groove and see where in the present we can be applicable. And this is really hard for people. And actually, I'm seeing a lot in our generations now that as we come forward in our spiritual beliefs and or lack of thereof, people don't need churches so much. They don't need a dogma or set of rules. I find that in the type of I'm going to call it spiritual education rather than ministry because I prefer that word and I think it's more accurate for what I do. When I'm working in the area of spiritual education, I seem to do a lot of recovery for people of who they are as opposed to who they were told they were. I mean, a lot of people come into, quote, churches, end quote, and they feel like pieces of crap because that's what they were told they were. And that could not be farther from the truth. You know, these words that have weight and that damage people aren't even accurate 99% of the time. I mean, it's just, it's unconscionable to me that people still fall into this stuff. Now, I will say from a spiritual perspective, when I do an overview of the earth and I look down on everything, I do see that people are less and less attracted to dogma because it's just about who we are. And I feel very compelled to stand in the gap for people that don't have to be one thing. And God knows I'm not one thing. I mean, my other job is music. I run a couple of record labels. So I'm not one thing. You're not going to be one thing. Nobody's supposed to be one thing. And there's no one version of creation. There's no one version of God. It's okay if somebody listening cannot wrap their brain around that and think that I'm a total heretic. That's okay too. Because that is how God is representing to that person, is completely one modality, completely one way. Well, rock on. If that's how universe and creation and universal consciousness makes sense to you, then rock that bad boy. If it makes sense to you to have no connection with any universal consciousness because it's all here and now and it's where our hands are and this is life, well, rock on with that one too. Universe doesn't care if we acknowledge it or not, you guys. That is a human ego projecting itself into the ideology of a deity. Not that I'm saying I speak for God, yet when I tune into this angelic life, they're not gnashing their teeth because nobody's praising the Lord or whatever. They are so far ahead of our ability to understand how God works with humanity, or creation works with humanity, or universal equation works with the math of the chaos, that I learn a lot from these guys. And a lot of what we read in our spiritual literature, such as the Bible, is not to be discounted, yet it's not supposed to be exactly the only way that it is, because that would dictate that life should have stopped about 4,000 years ago. And obviously life has gone on. So being able to incorporate this is really, really important in our spiritual journeys. And the fact that the same book exemplifies people with spiritual gifts and talents. It tears down other ones. And really, I can kind of get on board with the whole Deuteronomy thing about some of these people who even work in my field as a psychic and a medium. Let me back this up. It's not always convenient to be wired to see what is inside of people. That is my particular interesting conundrum to live with. And a lot of times, a lot of people go into many fields, whether it's business or metaphysics or ministry or whatever, to be the focal point, to be the rock star, to be the person who gets all the attention. And I've seen a lot of people in my metaphysical field who, when I look at them, they certainly do have gifts and talents, yet they will overreach in areas where their gift or their talent is not to its best degree. And that causes a lot of problems because then you wade into disingenuousness. And I tell you, in my field, if I don't know, if I'm not being told something by the angelic life that I'm consulting, if I don't know, I will say, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not being shown that right now, because it's not about me being a rock star. That's my other job. It's about me trying to translate some information correctly. And I know, I can feel listeners out there going, you know, God, I receive information too, but I'm just not sure if I trust myself, or should I trust myself? Or some of my more traditionally raised listeners, I can feel you out there listening to this going, well, God, I do have kind of weird dreams that come true, but that's supposed to be the devil's work. No, it's not. And another thing that's a great big fat myth, and this is completely off topic, is the passages in the Bible, or many different spiritual books, not just the Bible, that talk about not consulting spirits because you will be deceived and you won't be able to tell the good ones from the bad ones. That is such a steaming pile of horse crap. Let me tell you something. If you can see colors, can you not tell the difference between blue and yellow? I mean, honestly, if you can smell smells, can you not tell the difference between the smell of a rose and the smell of dog poo? Come on, people. Yes, if you are attuned to spirit life, you absolutely positively can tell the difference between a yucky spirit and a good spirit because vibrationally, they come from two different planes, they live in two different places, and you can feel the difference. So just will you just trust yourself a little bit and quit going into the mental space and disabling the brain and saying, oh God, I'm not going to ever be able to do this because it's the devil's work. That's not true. It's not true. Guys, it's 2015, the year of reconciliation. We are being called to honor our spiritual design. And that's spiritual gifts of discernment and spiritual gifts of administration. Again, not mine, wish it was. Spiritual gifts of discernment means you're helping other people figure their life problems out. Or you just look at something and you know, okay, this is crap and this is not crap. Mediumship, being able to talk to dead people or other entities that are out there. Channeling, getting a message or an idea and actually acting on it. I mean, how many people have you been part of in your life that have sat around the television and watched the made-for-TV offers, you know, like the egg-shaped callus scraper or whatever, and been like, oh my God, I should have totally done that. I thought about that 5 years ago, and it just popped in my head one night, and I didn't like actually patent it and get it done. And how many people have you... Oh, I got a caller. Fantastic. Hey, caller. So glad you're calling in. I'm Danielle Agnew. You're on Sight Unseen. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Tammy from Georgia.
Tammy from Georgia. How are you, darling? How's it going?
Hey. Good. I was just listening in, and I just had a couple of experiences the past couple of days. I usually feel spirit, but that's basically to the extent I don't visually see anything, but I'll feel things. And I've had some dreams at times that seemed like they did come true. They weren't like that big a deal. But anyway, I will feel things. And I had kind of an interesting experience at my job. And it was someone that I work with, but I don't really know. And he looked at me and I looked at him. And I had never met him or knew anything about him and stuff, and all of a sudden I felt like my heart chakra connected with him. It just felt like it was the front of my chest. You know, I say heart chakra because that's in the center of my chest, but it felt like this wave of energy, and like I wanted to explain it like it felt a love energy or like water hitting my chest. It was kind of unusual, weird, you know. And then so I had to turn away and not look, and then it went away. And then he started asking me a question, so I looked back at him, and it hit me again. I was like, what the heck? That's kind of weird.
Right.
And I just, yeah, and then I've just been noticing, like, I feel things touching my arms or, like, flutters, like, moving around me, like wings or fabric or something the past couple of days, like, in the morning or in the evening. And it's
oh, that is awesome.
Kind of strange. Yeah, and I don't know what it is, but I've had some weird experiences because you're just talking about, you know, people being clairsentient or clairaudient or...
And
know,
honoring those
things.
Experiences, Tammy. And can I ask you, when you were feeling these things, did you feel like you ever had to not honor them in your life? Did you feel like that was religiously defying your upbringing to honor them? Or did you just never have a problem with that and you accepted them as part of who you are?
Well, I don't know. I don't think anybody in my family has ever told me that they ever saw or felt anything. So I used to think I was weird, and I used to be told that my mother was crazy and weird and all this other stuff, and she was very biblical, but she would have kind of weird, unusual experiences, as I speak of, I guess. she would see angels, or she would say communicate with them. And I think my family always said that she was off the wall. But then later in life, when I started to kind of experience a little bit here and there, I kind of go, uh-oh, maybe my mom's not off the wall. But she kind of went down the wrong path. But in that sense, I never really believed in it. And then I think through the years, when I would share things with people, they'd be like, oh, that's just some kind of physical problem or something's wrong, you know, like that I wasn't really feeling what I was. And then later, you know, as it became more prevalent, then I realized, hey, this is, you know, and then connecting on Facebook, or because Facebook is like the window to the world, because without the internet, you're basically in your house, you know, all you have is the phone, the television, and who you see on a random day, but you don't actually have all these people that you get to listen to and see their experiences and read about their stories and things like that. So I guess maybe I did doubt at times in my life, but I don't have them all the time, which makes it kind of unusual.
Yeah. Well, and you're not going to have it all the time, Tammy. You won't, because what you're going to have are the experiences that are going to come to you when your discernment or your way in or your gifts and talents are needed. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that people who experience these gifts and talents may not understand, is that what they are dealing with is receiving information and needing to apply it in that moment. And that's why our spiritual radar is going off. And our clairsentient gifts are coming out. Our gifts of empathy are coming out. You were talking about feeling this brushing around you, or like, I would tell you that that's you're referring to it as wings. What I see it as are these spirit beings, angels, that are up close to you, and it does feel like they wrap around you. And it's very just brushing up over your shoulders and on the top parts of your arms. I'm getting, I'm actually feeling that and having that come around you. These are entities letting you know that they're there. Our ethers are very, very thin, and people's perceptions are changing at breakneck speed. Mm-hmm. So people like yourself, Tammy, out there in Georgia, being able to go forward and explaining on the air to people what you've experienced. And like you said, you know, there comes a time when we all look at our mothers and say, oh, my God, I guess mom was right. How weird. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's like, okay, my mom's not so crazy. Yeah.
Isn't that it's hysterical?
Like, maybe she actually does see. And it's like, oh, if I start seeing things one day, then I'm going to be like, oh, no.
I know. Well, and it's this part of your genome, Tammy. I'm seeing that. You do have that medium genome in there. It's in there, and it, when it's needed, it'll be called upon. Tammy, thank you so much for calling, my dear. Yeah. We've got to go to a break. It is always wonderful to hear from you, and thank you so much for sharing your story with us. You are awesome.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Tammy. You take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Guys, we will be right back. I'm Danielle Agnew, and this is Sight Unseen. Don't go anywhere. Sight Unseen will be right back. Hey, psychic and medium Danielle Agnew here. It's that time of year. We're ramping into the holidays, and with that comes the holiday stress. Sleepless nights because your brain won't shut down. My meditation CD, Creation Whispers, is a massage for the mind. I've composed a musical canvas that specifically inspires theta waves in the brain, which triggers the deep relaxation that's necessary to fall asleep. Download my album, Creation Whispers, from iTunes today and get the rest your body is craving. Also available on CD at Barjans in downtown Billings.
Hey there, it's Rebecca from Fit Body Bootcamp Billings. We've got a new way of working out that can burn more fat and make your body more athletic in less time. I'm talking about the Fit Body Bootcamp fat-burning workouts that will do the job of a one-hour traditional workout in only 30 minutes. Our secret sauce is how we create the afterburn effect with combined resistance training and cardio to make sure you burn more fat after each session. Try our 21-day Fat Loss Inferno program to see for yourself. You'll get our exclusive program with our Fit Body Jumpstart Nutrition Plan. Call 850-8459 to reserve your spot. New members only, please.
At Soul Sync Bodywork in downtown Billings, we're here to unlock your deepest relaxation potential with a combination treatment. Two practitioners at once for the price of one. Licensed massage therapist and Celtic tonal healer Marsha Reichert bathes you in the energy of hot stone massage and vocal tones, while holistic reflexologist Craig Harris relieves the tension in your day with a relaxing foot rub. Call Soul Sync Bodywork for your appointment today at 281-0135 or visit soulsyncbodywork.com.
There's a darkness.
This place hadn't been touched for years,
and it made me feel terrified.
I don't like that place.
Bring it on.
evil is the opposite of light and of God. And I think that that can take on a lot of different forms.
Whatever you are, I know what you are.
The place was boarded up.
Fear grabs us all.
Montgomery House, The Perfect Haunting, a Danielle Agnew film. Available on DVD at montgomeryhousehaunting.com.
Hey guys, Danielle Agnew here, inviting you to uncover secrets of the spiritual world in exquisite and disturbing detail through my eyes with my book, True Tales of the Truly Weird, Real Paranormal Accounts from a Real Psychic. From ghosts, demons, extraterrestrials, kachinas, elementals, to people who even cannibalize another person's liver, True Tales of the Truly Weird is an expose on what's really lurking beyond. Are you ready for the truth? Grab your hard copy or Kindle version today at Amazon.com. Also available for Nook and iBook.
Fit Body Bootcamp. Billings. Mind. Body. Life. Actual clients. Tell their stories.
My biggest success, going from a size 34 to a size 30 for my pants and losing 25 pounds.
I went from 25% body fat down to 15% body fat.
I have lost 45 pounds.
Fit Body Bootcamp Billings, 601 24th Street West in Westgate Village. Be the change you want to see.
And now, back to Sight Unseen. Hey, you guys, welcome back. Woohoo! That was a really packed first half. Holy cow. You know, our second half, we're going to have, not that the first half wasn't just a barrel of laughs and a barrel of chickens running wild, yet we are going to talk about something I love to talk about, which is demons. Demons. I figured, hey, if we're going to go all like crazy churchy in the first half, which wasn't exactly crazy churchy, let's go with some demons in the second half, okay? Because one of the things that I have found in dealing with actual demonic entities is that they're kind of one-trick ponies, to be honest with you. And I find this fascinating because we talk about the human being or the human spirit as, again, coming from a more traditionally dogmatic religious perspective as being evil. You're evil. We are sinners. Again, the term sin is a Roman archery term. It means to miss the mark. So if you're coming at this perspective, at least know the word that you're talking about. You mark misser, you big fat mark misser, you. Anyway, demons, you guys. Demons are a very interesting dark entity. And I find them interesting because they have one way of behaving. They have one way of approach. They do what they do for one big specific reason, and it may surprise you. It's not to shake their fist in the face of God and sacrifice humanity because they're mad at God again. Hello, human construct of how the universe works. Fantastic stories. However, that's not really what demons deals are, okay? We refer to them as demons. In my work as a paranormal investigator, I do refer to them as chaotic darkness. Because you tell a human being there's a demon in the house and they will lose their ever-loving mind and game over. Okay, game over. If you are dealing with chaotic darkness, what you're dealing with is an entity that is super psychic, that is unbelievably patient, that is designed not to just pounce on something and kill it, but to inspire it to suffer because the suffering gives off a particular energy that those entities actually eat. They eat pain. They eat dismay. It's what they do. We'll get to that in a minute. So you've got this super psychic, super brilliant, I would say patient pack predator that is completely sociopathic and has no, absolutely no emotional response to anything. And why I say pack predator is because demons will clump together when they are dealing with people think that it is attacking people or in the war of the spirit or God, we personify this stuff so much. And it's just so ridiculous. No wonder demons hang around Earth. We have made them into gods on this planet. It's embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. Here's the deal, guys. Chaotic darkness has a design. Okay. If you do believe in a creation or a creator, and if your belief system involves a light and a dark, well, obviously creation made all things for a reason. And darkness has a purpose, you guys. Now, I'm not saying I'm a big fan. I'm not a big fan, and I often find it to be a bully and boring in its exact same scary approach that it always takes. However, it does serve a purpose, just like the sharks that swim through the ocean. are actually there to clean up the oceans and eat the bloody weird fish and the flailing things and the sick things and the crap out of the oceans, darkness kind of swims around the ethers on the earth, and it cleans out of the ethers, again, pain, dismay, stress, suffering. It eats that stuff for dinner. Literally, it's what it eats. And it transmutes that energy back into a dimension and takes it out of here. Now, if you think about darkness in that capacity, that makes demons much less our personal enemy and more a weird shark that's attracted to us bleeding out into the water. And whenever we have a lot of suffering or a lot of pain or, you know, a lot of freak out, whenever we're having that experience, then what we undertake is us at times, not all times, but at times attracting dark stuff that eats the stuff that we're putting out into the ethers around us. And it just kills me how we have made demonic entities into these great powerful beings. And I mean that, again, coming from a Christian background and going to church and hearing an evangelical church. I grew up in many churches. My dad was in the Army, and we went around to many churches on the Army bases. Once I got back here to Montana, we kind of settled into the evangelical Foursquare churches, where they talk about the devil, the enemy, and we make the devil, as if it's just sitting there with its horns and its evil mustache, into this creature that is stalking us. Because, you know, we're so important, apparently, here on Earth, that all these chaotic dark entities that can go to any dimension, that can go anywhere just like an angel can, yeah, they're just so hyper-obsessed with humanity because we're so important. Welcome to the human concept of the sense of self. Good God, guys. I hate to break it to all of us, but we are not that fabulous to have this dark thing only seek us out of everything in the universe because it's trying to get back at God. Excuse me, isn't that a jealous ex-girlfriend? Whose plot twist was that? Who made this up? This is just weird. I'm telling you, the idea that humankind is stalked by demons because we're paying for some fight that God and the devil had a million years ago or whatever is egocentric on the part of the human species. Chaotic darkness's job, again, is to eat chaos. Now, if I am somebody who is completely dedicated to suffering, okay, maybe I've had a really horrible life. Maybe emotionally I've been very abused. Maybe this isn't, of course, by choice, but I'm experiencing a lot of yucky stuff. And I go into participation with the energy signature known as suffering. Because remember, guys, pain is real. Suffering is a choice. You can be in pain. It's up to you whether you want to suffer through the pain. That's a whole different mental attitude issue. If I'm dedicated to suffering, and that's what I'm doing, then I'm putting out basically chaotic dark food. And of course, just like anything else, the darkness is going to come to where the food is. The minute I stop putting all this pain out into the atmosphere, darkness is lazy. It may be super psychic. It may be brilliant. It may be really patient and a sociopathic pack predator, but guess what else it is? Lazy. Darkness is super lazy. A shark is not going to sit there and stalk one seal for 10,000 miles because it has a vendetta against all seals. Are you serious? Get real. Now, shark's going to chase the seal. Seal gets away. It's like, crap, that one was too strong. Whatever. Going to go back down to the bottom of the ocean and just sit here and wait for another seal. And that's like darkness. If you're a predator, you don't expend a lot of energy on a strong prey. That doesn't make any sense. You go for the limpy ones. You go for the weak ones. In my work as a paranormal investigator and as a psychic, when I've gone in to deal with very demon-infested places, you can feel it when you walk in. Because chaotic darkness is in a completely parallel and opposite dimension to that of light, and me being a creature of light and you being a creature of light, and anybody who's alive is a creature of light, when you walk into that room, you've got two different vibrations that just by the nature of their oscillation and what they are, cannot be in the same place at the same time. It's a buzzkill. And it's worse for dark than it is for light. It feels yucky for light. For dark, it is a complete shake apart because the resonation of light is so much higher. It's like taking an ultrasonic toothbrush and just blowing all the plaque out from your teeth. Yes, the plaque is tough until you get the ultrasonic wave on it and it blows it to pieces. That's the difference between the resonation of light and dark. Doesn't mean one's better than the other. One just wipes the other one out. I mean, go into a room and turn on the light. Where does the dark go? Okay, hello. So when we're dealing with the oscillation of light and dark entities. And you walk into a demon-possessed house, is how we humans like to look at it. You can feel what's called demonic oppression, and it's really super heavy. I mean, the air feels like it weighs 1,000,000 pounds. It feels like there's lead in the air. It feels like your feet are just full of sand. It's hard to breathe. There's a feeling of getting sick to your stomach. A lot of times there's nasty smells. The chaotic darkness that exists in its own dimension, and we can call that dimension hell, although it's absolutely positively not what we think hell is, with crackling fires and evil red-tailed, you know, torturous beings. It's actually just an absolute absence of light. And to have those entities try to cross over into this incarnation, which is Earth, and have them try to be here, it causes them, to a degree, some discomfort. And so it takes many of them to actually gang up on one person. It's true. It takes about 4 or 5 demons to one person to really get a good run in, because they've got to back up and take a run at the high vibrational light. It takes many of them. So when we talk about our concept of people being evil, this cracks me up completely. We may make some really crappy choices, and human beings may reflect evil behavior. And we may do things that are disgusting and feel like crap to other people. Charles Manson, people like that, who you look in their eyes and you just see something real crazy that's not even really human. Charles Manson actually is a big open channel medium who never got control of his gifts and talents and was very abused as a child and had this open swinging barn door on his back, you know, like the saloon doors that swing both ways. As he's being terribly abused as a child, here comes this dark stuff that's completely attracted to all of that pain that's being put out into the ethers. And there is a euphoric quality for some people, I don't really get it, but, you know, to each their own, when they partner with very dark entities. And I always call it having a dark passenger or wearing a dark backpack. Not to say that Charles Manson's possessed. He definitely knows what he's doing. He's in there. Yet there is nasty dark that feeds through the cracks of his armor that was broken at a very young age, and he is in complete and total participation with that. And there is a look in people's eye that when I look at them, I can tell if there's chaotic darkness there or not. Because human beings don't have that vibration. We don't have that look in our eyes. And once in a while, Hitler got it. There have been very charismatic, great people around the world who are psycho. And a lot of that psycho is, I'm not saying the devil made them do it. They do it. They make the choices to be a creeper. I'm simply saying that what we have here is very, typically very intelligent, spiritually gifted people who are broken at some point. And here comes this chaotic dark to eat around the corral of brokenness. And then the person will tend to, in some way, participate with that dark thing, thinking that there is power there or protection. And if you're a very broken person with a very broken perspective, you're not really going to understand that the reason that you are feeling powerful all of a sudden or protected all of a sudden is because you've got a very powerful dark thing riding shotgun. You're just going to feel, wow, I feel like I've got this rush of something. Well, yeah, I got a rush of something. I'll tell you what, it's not maybe something you want to spread around. So when we're dealing with the concept of evil, human beings, we can emulate evil behavior. We can do some hideously disgusting things to one another. It is technically impossible for a human being to be evil, because we are made of light. We are a light vibration. We come from the dimension of light, if you will. Call it heaven, call it whatever you want. Call it over the rainbow. Who cares? Yet we come from a dimension of light. And we're talking a physics issue here at this point. So if light and dark cannot be in the same place at the same time, and they are not in the same place at the same time, then it stands to reason that we can't be evil. You know, we can try on the evil costume and try on some really terrible things and do terrible things. That is also part of the free will lesson of Earth, is making some really jackhole choices sometimes. And I never could get on board with this ideology that humans are evil. We can be, in a very rare cases, and I do mean rare, we can be overtaken or, if you will, possessed by demonic entities, which is incredibly rare, again, very rare. And usually the person getting, if you will, possessed, again, what a dramatic word, the person sharing their flesh suit with some demonic entities I generally does have heightened spiritual gifts and abilities. Either they are an empath or a medium or a channel or a clairvoyant. And they do not have their head wrapped around this gift. Perhaps they're in denial about this gift because, as the aforementioned half hour stated, maybe they read it was a bad thing or part of the devil. So they are purposefully not dealing with the fact that they have open swinging saloon doors, which is really bad. Always know where your doors are, you guys. Wow. And maybe they're in a lot of pain. I notice a lot of possessions take place with people who are struggling trying to get through an illness, like a disease, like cancer. Or sometimes they have mental illness that they struggle with. And that's a real easy swinging door to get through. If somebody's already struggling mentally, well, let's just kick that sucker in and just pop in there. And there is a difference, you guys, between obviously demonic possession and mental illness and schizoaffective breaks and all that. And you can tell those differences if you are somebody who is wired to be very sensitive to vibrations. You can tell the difference between an actually possessed person, because there's an extreme acute, cold, almost reptilian intelligence involved in that, and somebody who's having a really bad brain chemistry moment. There is a huge difference. Back in the day, we used to think everybody with mental illness had the devil in them in the 1500s, and we burned them because that's how humanity deals with our differences. Yay, humans. Good God, Lord Almighty. I am happy to be reincarnated at this point in 2015. I do not need to do the dark ages or the old days. The old days weren't so great. The good old days were not so good. There was a lot of religious and sociological oppression, a lot of health problems, a lot of stink as people would walk around with their appendages rotting because they had no antibiotics. It was kind of a gnarly time, people. So we should be actually grateful that we're in this time frame. So when you're thinking about the devil or evil or the, you know, demons coming after you, keep in mind, guys, too, that there are elementals, which is God's middle management for nature. There are elementals that are dark. And they're supposed to be dark, and they can come off as demons. Jinn is a fantastic, weird, well, typically from, they're an air or fire elemental, water elemental once in a while, that is more associated with being demons in Middle Eastern cultures, but they're technically elementals. So when we're dealing with demons and evil, you know, we can emulate evil behavior, but we can't be evil. And the idea that we would be personally stalked by a dimension full of dark creatures from a former vendetta is unbelievably egotistical. I think about this. In all of the whole entire universe, the Earth would be the only place where demonic life would come down and eat pain out of the ethers? I don't think so. Does that mean angels only come to Earth? No way, Jose. Actually, angelic life works with many types of life, our off-world friends, our ET friends, our off-world cousins. They do a ton of work with the Palladian folks, who are these big, tall, blue, ancient civilization of light beings that used to be corporeal and don't need a body anymore. People confuse Palladians with angels all the time because they're so powerful. They are not an angel, but people get them confused. So why would our angelic entities be able to cross boundaries and dimensional lines and deal with anybody else, except demons only hunt people on Earth to get back at God? Again, you guys, good. Holy cow. We got Curtis from the Montana Paranormal Research Society. I hope I said that right, Curtis, in the chat room, saying, we've encountered a spirit being fed on by a darker spirit. Okay. Being feed on by a darker spirit. Yeah, and that's true. What you can deal with and what we're looking at here, what he's talking about, you guys, is a lot of spirits. When we die, if we don't cross over and we decide we're going to stay in this in-between space, that's kind of hardcore. And if we are hanging out in that area, the in-between space between the here and the hereafter, if we're hanging out there, and we continue to hang out there, and we are in any sort of pain, guess what we're going to attract? We're going to attract the big white shark, and it's going to swim over and start eating us in that spirit realm. And that's what Curtis is talking about. I've encountered those too, Curtis. I've encountered human beings that were stuck in a space, or thought they were stuck or chose to be there, that are then tormented or eaten off of by a big darker thing. And, you know, they don't care. Demons don't care whether we have a body or not. It's the spirit that puts off energy. So that's fascinating, Curtis. Yeah, I've run into that too. I've also run into human spirits that have run after the dark spirits, the dark chaotic spirits, demonic spirits, thinking that they will protect them from the angels because these people did horrible things in their life. And they're pretty sure that the angels are going to drag them straight to hell. So instead of just going to hell with the dark creatures, they go chasing after them because they think that that's going to repel the angel. And again, the dark spirit just eats their fear, which, you know, good Lord, it's just a bad cycle. So the reason I'm talking about this half hour is that as the ethers thin, you guys, we are going to have a lot more occurrences where our spiritual prowess is needed. Your clairvoyant abilities are going to be needed. Tammy called from Georgia last segment. Her abilities as an empath and her upcoming abilities as a medium. These things are necessary for her job. I happen to know what her job is. And these are important aspects of her job. So if you're feeling your spiritual gifts and talents being called forward, first of all, don't fear that the devil's going to come after you and it's the devil's work. It's not. It's part of being a piece of light. Enjoy your spiritual gifts and talents. Understand that there is a chaotic darkness. There are demonic entities, yet it is not so personal that they are personally hunting you. If you're finding that you're having problems with weird dark stuff in your house, you may also have a vortex point that your house is on where the land is a weak place, like a barn door, letting darker or lighter things in at the same time. And you can have people like myself or people like Curtis from the Montana Paranormal Research Society or other paranormal investigators or other people from the clergy come in and address those issues. Don't assume it's a demon. 9 times out of 10, when I've gone to people's homes to eradicate this supposed demonic life, it is a dark elemental and it's pissed because somebody dug a well somewhere or they dumped some crap in the backyard or they mowed a tree down or whatever. Elemental's job is to protect nature. And so this thing is pushing back because its job is to protect the land that it's on. So don't always assume it's a demon, and it's very rare to actually have an actual demon hanging out with you. If you find that's the case, just tell it to take a hike and stop feeding it with fear, and just think of yourself as Yoda dealing with Darth Vader, okay? It's just put yourself in a mind frame of being like, look, you're a douche. I don't need to deal with you. You're a shark. I'm not going to splash in the water with you. Go find somebody else. And that demonic life will get bored and it literally will go find somebody else to eat from. Guys, going to wrap up the show here. We got one more minute. Thanks so much for tuning in every single Wednesday. You can reach out to me at my website, Danielle Agnew, EGNEW-advisor.com. You can check me out on Facebook and Twitter. If you're in the Billings area, I am at Unity Church on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. If you're looking for a really outside-the-box service about spirituality, you can catch me there. And, of course, you can catch me here every Wednesday. And make sure that you check out our archives of Sight Unseen. And you can check those out at site, P-S-I-G-H-T, unseen.com. So hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, the website, and stay tuned for my dear friend Marcia Reichert's debut show, Channeling Divine. You've heard Marcia on the show here before. She is a wonderful tonal healer, deals a lot with the elemental community. So stick around for Channeling Divine, everybody. And remember, there's no way you can be evil because you are born of light. Have an absolutely fantastic week and take care.